Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening to us. You are now rocking with the best. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kwame, joined by my nephews, Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. Double Trouble's in the house. What's going on, boys?
Not much, recent.
Yeah, man.
Just enjoying the hockey. It's been a pretty entertaining couple of games. So much going on, so many nice goals and stuff. So it's been interesting. Elijah, your boy Quinn Hughes had a sick apple the other day. Actually, I don't know if he had the apple just because there were so many passes, but did you see that play? Right, the Canucks there?
I think so, if we're talking about the right apple, because he's been snapping. He's got like 9 assists right now. Yeah, he's like setting records like every other game.
So and then obviously Nate McKinnon's going off. Like, he's just, I don't even know what that guy's on. He's been like, I think, the best player in the playoffs so far. What do you guys think?
I think Nathan's just, he's showing people a different level. I always knew he was a really good player, but I didn't really know he was that good. So
he's like a horse, like a human horse. It's like, it doesn't make any sense the way he crosses over and stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous. So it's been nuts.
Even Kadri's having a good playoffs.
Yeah.
The whole team's just killing it right now.
And the Bruins kind of caught some fire now with Bergeron, Pasternak and Marchand snapping off. They're doing well too, so be interesting to see how they match up against Tampa, because Tampa's obviously without Stamkos still, but Tampa's hot as well. So I'm looking forward to watching that series probably the most of any, just because they're like two teams who could legitimately win the Cup this year. They're playing each other right away, so it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I look at all the teams left, and I honestly – like, they're all good enough that they can win the Cup this year. But I think for me, that Vancouver-Vegas series, I'm looking forward to the most. I think Vancouver's been killing it. Might be a little biased because Quinn's on the team. But, you know, just watching them, Pettersson, like Horvat, has probably been like a top five player in these playoffs this year.
Are you guys surprised?
A real exciting team.
The Islanders just kind of handle Washington like that?
Oh, my God. I was shocked.
As they handled them, but you know, I had them winning. They're like, I don't know, man. I think they're coming out of the East.
Surprised that the Stars are still standing too. To be honest, I mean, I didn't watch them a ton this year, but they always seem to do pretty well until the playoffs. So it's good to see them kind of get some wins in the playoffs for a change.
And they took game one too.
Yeah, they did. We'll see. I don't
pretty
know.
Important taking that first game.
I have a weird feeling about Colorado. They could do it, I think, this year. McKinnon's unstoppable. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, it's good to see. I think it's good to see Kadri, you know, getting a lot of love out there and, you know, making some major moves on that team, you know, just because of the way he left the Maple Leafs. So, those guys are my dark horse for sure.
Yeah, and I heard even a couple post-game interviews there, a lot of the players are talking about how Kadri was what they needed to kind of give them that next step. And, you know, last year they were a good team, but they lost in the first round. Now you see that grit that he brings, and it's kind of helping them be so dominant right now.
To kind of elaborate on what you said, Kwame, like, it seems like everyone who plays in the Leafs, they do whatever. But as soon as they leave, it's just like a fresh breath of air, and like they just do way better. You see it with literally every player. Kessel for sure.
Bozak. Both won cups 100%. Once they left the Leafs.
Because the pressure, man. The pressure in playing in Toronto.
I think to me, again, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, you just need that grit. And I just don't see the grit in Toronto. I see a lot of flash, a lot of dash, but I don't see any grit. And I don't think that the league is shaped for that yet. I know, you know, we're trying to get to a place where it's all about speed and skill, but, you know, tell me the last team that won a Stanley Cup that was just pure speed and skill and no grit at all. Like, you have to have somebody in there that's ready to, you know, lose a tooth or a bleed or get in front of the net and take those whacks and hit hard and defend the other player. And I don't see anybody like that for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I see that in Colorado. I see that in Vegas, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think Toronto, Spezza kind of did that for them in that series. Yeah. Yeah. That game where they came back and won, it started with his fight. And then you just saw the change in the team. But you do need a guy that's going to play in your top six that is just all over the ice, hitting, finishing hits. If you look at all the teams that have won, every single team has a guy like that. Mm-hmm. Boston's got Marchand. Who else just won a cup?
Boston's got like 20 guys like that.
Yeah. Washington, Tom Wilson. But yeah, I think you really do need a guy like that if you're going to win.
For me, it's like, I think the most important thing with the Leafs is just experience. And for example, like Jason Spezza has a lot of experience. He's been in the NHL for many years. He has that playoff experience. And, you know, I think it's good that the Leafs, you know, they're young and they're making the playoffs and they're experiencing losses like that right away. So like each year they can just kind of build, you know, build lessons and kind of learn together as like a core pretty young. So I think like in 4 years, 5 years, I think they'll be legit, I'm going to guess.
But here's the thing. I think that team's going to get broken up, if not this year, like soon, because they've been going at this with that core for a few years now and things aren't working. If you look at a team like the Islanders, like who, they don't have a star player, but they're built for the playoffs. So I would love to see the Leafs maybe take another crack or two at it with the roster they have and maybe make some minor adjustments. But I do think there's a strong chance that the roster kind of gets broken up and they go with a new team.
You also got to take into consideration that like Matthews, Marner, Nylander, like these guys are like 97, 96s. Like they're young. Like I think they're a really good team for how young they are because like, they've obviously drafted really well. Those players have developed like super well over the last couple of years, but like they're super young. So I don't know. I think like no team is just gonna grab a bunch of young kids and like win Stanley Cups from day one. I think in any
Colorado Avalanche, Vancouver Canucks.
Vancouver Canucks, no.
Well, I mean
One of those teams might go to the conference final. I mean, just Vancouver, as young, if not younger than Toronto.
Vancouver's definitely like a surprise for me. That's why, like, I think Colorado's definitely more of like a veteran type of scene. I think the only young guy they have is Makar, really, who's like super young, like who's doing that.
Gerard, Jost.
Yeah, I guess. But we're like Vancouver's like Pedersen, Hughes, like
yeah, Vancouver stars are the young guys,
super young. So
yeah, it's a very interesting playoffs. And speaking of playoffs, you know, the guys are spending a lot of time in the bubble. They are grinding it out for us. And one of the teams that we didn't expect to be out of it so fast, the Pittsburgh Penguins, we got from that team, Pierre-Olivier Joseph joining us on the show, a.k.a. P.O., a.k.a., you know, Quebec, Montreal, French.
Lover boy.
That's right. That's right. He's going to be joining us here on this show. Do you guys got anything else before we go to break?
Yeah, I got a quick question for both of you. I'll answer it myself too. Who would you say so far is your MVP of the playoffs?
McKinnon.
I'd say Nate McKinnon for sure right now. What about you?
I would go with either Bo Horvat or Husey. And you could say I'm biased, but...
Could say or
Horvat for the longest time was leading the whole playoffs in goals. Right. And what Husey's doing as a rookie defenseman, I think you take both those guys out of the equation. I don't think Vancouver's moving on. And I think Bo Horvat in his first year as captain, I would say Horvat, what he's done as his first year, taking a team that young past some pretty good teams, the defending champs, I would say him.
That coast-to-coast
or Carter Hart.
That coast-to-coast goal that Horvat had was just ridiculous. Dirt. That was Dirt McGurk for sure.
What I thought was pretty cool is when Philadelphia beat Montreal in the series, Carter Hart's favorite goalie growing up was Price. And like beat them in a series, and you could just, there's videos of them shaking hands. I thought it was pretty cool, just because like in that moment, like you kind of reflect on like every hour you put in and like how much you looked up to someone and how much like you trained to be them. And then all of a sudden you get that feeling of not surpassing them, but just, you know, having that satisfaction of being able to say, you know what, I beat Carey Price.
Or you just played against them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you beat him in a series. More cool. So I think that was pretty cool. So
both goalies in that series were unreal, I think.
Yeah. Who would like, be?
Put on a show.
Who would be that guy for you, Akil?
That's a good question. Wow. Wow.
That you look across and you're like, oh my God, I'm playing against.
That's a really good question, because I admire so many different players. One would be MacKinnon for sure. One would be Barzal, actually. I mean, he's young. Like, he's 3 years older than me. But, like, I love the player he is. I watch Braden Point a lot. And probably Kucherov. Those four would probably be my four. And even, like, you know, living in Toronto, I played against Castle my first year. And, like, that was crazy. Just to even see him, like, 10 feet away from me, I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So it's funny how, you know, life is, you know, you look up to someone so much and all of a sudden you're trying to take his head off, you know?
All right. And speaking of that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Pierre Olivier Joseph, P.O., rocking with the best right here on Soul on Ice, the podcast. All right, here we go. Our special guest on the show hails from Quebec, Ontario, Canada, which means, ladies, he speaks that language of love. But his first love, of course, is what he does on the ice, drafted 23rd overall by the Arizona Coyotes in the 2017 NHL draft. This young defenseman is set to take the league by storm in 2019. He was traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I'm sure he's looking forward to moving that puck up the ice to Sid. Let me introduce to you the younger brother of Matthew Joseph of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the former captain of the Charlottetown Islanders. They call him P.O. not because he's stinky, but because he's Pierre Olivier Joseph. What's cracking, my man?
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Everybody's good. So where are you at right now?
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining us, man. Where are you at right now?
I'm in Montreal, back home. I came back 2 weeks ago from Toronto, and came back to moms and dads, and you know, starting the summer in a couple of days.
All right. So, you know, for the people out there listening, you know, tell us about where you and your brother grew up. Tell us a little bit about the neighborhood. I know you're from Quebec, but describe that neighborhood you guys grew up in and how you guys were introduced to hockey.
Yeah. So my brother and I grew up in North Montreal. In Rosemont as well. So my parents went together back in the days, and you know, we grew up in a little more hoodie kind of place. It was fine. I mean, my brother showed me a hockey stick one day, and I kind of bit on it, and we started doing figure skating at first to learn how to skate and stuff. And the second we jump on the ice with the puck and a stick, we just loved the game, and it went from there. But then I move on the south shore with my parents. They got back together and stuff. So no, it was nice to build a house here, and we grew up kind of a little more farmer kind of place in Saint-Hyacinthe, which is a little bit further where we grew up and play hockey there. But no, we're really, really lucky to have a good place in Montreal.
You said that you know, your first place, you said it was kind of hoodie area. Describe what hoodie means for the people out there.
Well, let's just say when someone says, you know, when you're from North Montreal, they call it kind of Black Montreal, kind of. It's, you know, where most of the Asian people live in Montreal. It's kind of a big, more culture community, I guess, more diverse colors and stuff like that back there. But then, I don't know, some places where, you know, there's not a lot of African American or Black people around. So, no, it was a great place. I mean, my grandmother lived down below us, and, you know, how can you say no to some Asian food on the days that you're coming back from a game or from school? So I really like this place. I think it made my brother and I grew up loving this kind of culture, and just going out and play pickups game with some friends and stuff like that, where you didn't really need to think about anything else but just to enjoy when you're young.
But not really hood. It was just that,
it's not the hood, clearly not. I wasn't in danger or anything of gang or anything like that. It was a safe environment for sure.
Yeah, but in Quebec, other people would be like, oh, you're from there? You're from the hood. And just like, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because I remember we were playing in Saint-Hyacinthe, and we played like literally in North Montreal, where another major AAA team were, and like some of the guys were kind of like a little bit scared of going, out for warm up, play soccer. And I was like, guys, there's nothing to be worried about. Like, we're, we're safe here. We're just going to go out, like warm up, like when any other rink or anything. So some people would definitely call it a little bit more sketchy, but no, it wasn't. I felt safe 100% of the time there.
Yo, which current NHL defenseman would you compare yourself to?
I really love Marc-Edouard Vlasic. He's really like two-way defenseman, move the puck pretty well, and he's really, really, really good in his zone. And I think I'm just trying to look after him and just improve my game towards him a little. And he's I think one of the most underrated defensemen in the league, and people don't really see him as a flashy defenseman, but he does a lot of things right, and he can bring a little bit of offense in his game as well. So I think that's one of the guy I kind of look myself or want to be like him. And of course, PK, when you were in Montreal, just not the type of player he is, but just the personality wise, just the smile on his face, always wanting to play, enjoy the game as much as possible. I feel like that's something I want to put in my game as well.
Do you think Vlasic, because he was French, that's also a little big part of why you like
him? Not really. I guess I didn't meet him or anything growing up. I just felt like watching him with Team Canada, I guess it kind of helped, seeing him a little. But I guess it's a coincidence, I can say. But I think it's a pretty good defenseman.
Yeah. All three of us, me, you, and Akil, we all played in the CHL. I personally don't really know too much about the Q. How was your time in Charlottetown? I know Welshie pretty well from U17. He's a good guy, and he always talks about how great of a place Charlottetown was. But just from your experience there, how was it for you?
Yeah, classic Ontario players. They don't like Quebec League or anything. And that's how it works.
It's the easiest league.
Oh, please. It was a great, great place. I loved it so much. Being far away from home, at first it was, kind of scary. But my brother kind of went through the same thing going in St. John, which is, it's like really on the English part of Canada, I guess, of Quebec, if you want, of the league. And, it's like 10, 12 hours from home. So, I think I grew up so much there, being away from my parents, I feel like. But, being in a billet, learning English when I barely speak English back in when I first got in junior, and, met the guys, like you said, like Welshie. I met so many great people there, and I'm even thinking about getting a cottage there or something one day. So, I really loved there. I really loved the town, the city, the island, basically. And, it's a lot of travel a little bit, but, it's fun when you come back in Montreal and see your family and stuff like that. So, I really, really loved my time in Charlottetown for sure.
Speaking of family, let's talk about your parents a little bit. Any of them athletes? Who's the big hockey fan, your mom or your dad?
Both love the game, but my mom played volleyball at university or college, I'm not really sure, but my dad was used to play hockey growing up, and he got injured in a Q camp, and my dad, I can just come back from anywhere at 12 or 10 and he's gonna be watching hockey somewhere, even though it's Lightning against any team, or if it's Vancouver against Calgary, he's always going to be somewhere watching the game, and he loves the game so much. And no, they both are fan of hockey and fan of sports in general. We play so many other sports growing up, or even still now, that you know, that is not hockey. So no, both are pretty good athletes, I'll say.
So your dad, he used to play. Did he ever used to talk about his experiences playing back in the days? What was his hockey career like?
Yeah, so you know, he showed me a picture the other day, and you know, it was still in black and white. So it's been a while for sure. But no, he played in, you know, like North Montreal, where he grew up basically. And I didn't really ask him much about it. He just told me, you know, there's been his ups and downs for sure, from being, I mean, one of the few black players playing there back in the days, I guess, and feel like. And no, I that's a question I really gotta ask him and talk about. But you know, he worked a lot for his stuff. You know, he didn't grow up really rich, so you know, he was going around at 5 a.m. giving the journal to people, and you know, he was working to make his way into hockey. And I know my grandmother didn't really want my dad to play hockey, but he really loved the game so much that he made it work by working and paying a couple of his stuff as well. So no, I think I can see he battled for his hockey career, and that's something I really I'm grateful that he went through, and I think it made him better person as well.
I find it a little interesting, only because, like, you know, where we are right now with the social justice movement, with the changing of hockey culture, you guys growing up in Quebec, your father playing, I'm wondering, did you guys ever have those conversations about what may or may not happen on or off the ice and how to deal with it?
100%. You know, it's my brother and I growing up, and you know, being in a high level, we know that, and we knew that some stuff are going to happen on the ice, you know, hearing chirps from other players, or you know, maybe getting seen different from coach and stuff, and parents or whatever. But you know, my brother and I were so, like, friendly, and you know, we really didn't do any trouble or stuff like that. So I feel like most of the teammates that we had really loved us. And I for sure heard a couple of stuff on the ice and stuff like that, but most of the time my dad would just be, you know what, people who call you stuff on the ice are just ignorant people, you know, they don't know anything about you, or anything about what you've been through, or about your culture, or anything like that. So I just basically, sometime when I got called on the ice, I was just laughing their face and be like, you know what, like, I'm gonna go further in life than you by just, you just proved me that I'm gonna go further than you in life by saying comments like that. So I just really just, you know, not care about what they said or anything like that. So I for sure, my brother and I went through some stuff, and we just grew up from it.
Nice. I really like that point, actually. You know, you went from playing midget most of your first year, I think, in junior, to then the next year getting 39 points as a D in your draft year, and of going first round. So what was your, like, your shift between your first and second year like? What was that summer like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got cut from the queue at 16 years old. And you know, I was really, really skinny. So I was, you know what, like, I'm going to go back in midget and improve and, you know, be with my friend, have a lot of ice time and stuff like that, so I can just grow up. You know, I didn't get drafted and think that I would make the team, of course, not with me being drafted that late. But, you know, I just love the game so much that I just wanted to improve and reach the next level. So I guess when I got there, I got some positive comments from my teammates, from my coaching and stuff, and just made me, you know, want to have a big summer, or just a normal summer that I've been having. And, you know, I got there and we had a pretty offensive team, I can say. So it kind of helped with the stats and stuff. But no, I didn't really want to change anything. I just wanted to get there and enjoy the experience of being far, enjoy the experience of being in a great league like the CHL. And I got lucky to be part of a great team that offensively really were there.
And then after your second year, you're going into your third year, you're named captain. You're also captain of the Q team for the Super Series. Where did you kind of get that leadership from, and what were some of the things you kind of did to lead your team, like in terms of maybe team dinners or just what were things you did as a captain?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, just like I said earlier, my brother and I are just like, you know, like happy people, you know, always positive. I think that's made me captain in Charlottetown. I just love being around the rink, love being around the boys, and you know, having some movie nights or having some team dinners, or you know, going to eat before a road trips, or you know, I think the fact that I was starting to get better in English, that I can, you know, join the French and the English part of the team together, I feel like that kind of helped a little. But no, I mean, I got through a lot of good captain and good leader from you know, from Bantam to even before that, you know, just growing up, having so many experiences in my life, and just going in junior and just loving being around the rink, and the positive that I was bringing around the rink. I feel like that's a reason why they made me captain. But you know, just being there, I wasn't the only one. Of course, we were a bunch of great guys over there, and a bunch of other guys could have had the C on their chest, but I got lucky, and I enjoy having the C and lead the team with the people that we had around the team.
And you talked about your dad being a hard worker. Would you credit him a lot to kind of giving you those leadership skills?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the values come from your parents as well. So, you know, always be positive, always, you know, grew up from experiences. I feel like he showed me that from growing up, or, you know, talking to him or watching him, or, you know, the dedication that he puts into his work right now is remarkable. And that's something everybody should have in life, from wanting to want a goal and or goals, I feel like. And yeah, I think I just grew up from watching him and watching my brother, of course, that is going through the same path as I did after him. So yeah, I feel like just experience like my dad that he had in his past just kind of brought me some values that I just brought into sport.
What about your brother? You know, growing up, what was competition like between the two of you?
Awful. Awful. It was bad. Everything we would do, he was always starting fun and starting with either me or him crying over a lost point, or you know, a fight, or a tennis racket throw at each other, or you know, a ping pong racket, anything that you can find. We were always you know, competing in everything. But I feel it made us, you know, like we love the competition in everything we do. And I feel like it started from there. And you know, playing against him right now, it's always a little, I'm more excited, you know, to be in one-on-one against him, or if I know he's coming at me, I want to beat him, of course. But no, it was always, every time we're going out for sports or school or anything that we can find, it was always a compete activities or a compete event for sure.
So, would you beat him most of the time? Don't lie, because we might get him on the show and he might say different.
Yeah, sometime. You know, he didn't make it easy to grow up with him playing sport, but he was a hard player to be against in any sports. He was pretty good at tennis. I remember we would go out and play for a while, and I would beat him sometime, and I feel like he would be a little bit more mad because I was his little brother beating him. Or but I feel like when I grew up, I was kind of, you know, getting older and starting to get better at sports, so I would kind of push him a little bit. But no, for sure, I can see he beat me more than I beat him, but I'm starting to come back for a comeback season, let's just say.
So I have a, you know, a brother who's 12, so I haven't like played against him or anything. The closest to playing against my brother I've come to is probably playing against Elijah, and it was weird. It was different. So you played against your brother in the Q and now in pro as well. What is that like?
It's fun, you know, just to see your older brother reaching the goal that he set in his life, or the stuff that he's going through, and he's doing well in it. So it's definitely hard to play against him because he's a really, really good player. But I remember the first game we played against each other, it was it was bad. I think we got a double minor together, and the amount of time that my brother and I almost got in a fight, it was bad. And I remember him in Charlottetown. I was starting the OT, and it was a 3-on-3, and I remember him standing up on the bench and just screaming at me like, what are you doing on the ice? Like, you're awful and stuff like that. And, you know, like, always chirping me on the bench or anything, asking me to fight. I remember him telling me, like, it's not because you're my brother that I wouldn't go you or something like that. So, you know, it's fun. It's definitely fun to compete against him, you know, like, if I can say a little thing or two to him, or, you know, beat him in a one-on-one or stop him. It's always a plus in my head, in my game, or in our brother rivalry. So it's fun, but it has its ups and downs for sure during the game.
What would you say, you know, the positives and the negatives are about being the younger brother?
You know, the positive side, I would say, you know, you look after him so much. I can say that he's one of my biggest model. You know, I just look at him and the ups and downs that he went through in his life, and you know, the dedication and the determination that he put in everything he did or do is remarkable. And I want to just pick one or one stuff here, one stuff there, so I can put inside my my book, I can say. But the cons is, you know, people are always like, oh, you're Matthew's little brother, or you know, like, what's it like to have an older brother who's playing in the NHL or stuff like that. But at one point, I want to just be me and being known for PO and not only the you know, Matthew's little brother. But I feel like it's always going to be that way, and I just respect that. And if one day I can be better at him in hockey, maybe it will happen. But you know, I really enjoy having him you know, in pro, and seeing him compete at the highest level is really fun to see. And I'm always gonna, you know, see him as a role model and always take anything that he says or anything that he does.
What did you learn from him? What have you learned from your brother, considering he got into the show before you?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Both of you guys know, I know playing hockey, it's not always easy. It's not always the thing that is going to happen, that is going to happen. So I think from him, you know, getting cut from a couple of teams going up, and you know, not being drafted in the first round in the queue, not being drafted high in the NHL as well, but still be there. I think that's something I learned, that, you know, don't put any expectation on yourself. Just go out there and compete at the highest that you can bring, and, you know, have fun during it. You know, it's a sport that we love, the sport that we have passion for, and now it's a job as well. So it's definitely something I learned from him, from just never giving up, and at the same time, you know, just enjoying the process.
So let's talk about draft day. What was that like for you, and how cool was it to have your brother on one side, your grandmother on the other side, and, you know, both your parents there with you?
Yeah, it was definitely an unbelievable experience. I kind of blacked out the second I heard my name, and I don't remember really from walking towards the stage to kind of after getting out of the stage. I totally black out. I don't remember most of it. But, you know, I wasn't sure to be drafted in the first round, so I didn't, again, put any expectation on it. But, you know, have the recognition of the team that I could be, you know, a key player for the organization that were in rebuilding. That was fun to see. But, you know, it's always fun to go through experiences like that with your family and some people that you don't see often because you're far away for hockey, and to see their support. And I feel like it's their draft day as well, because they've made me the person and the player that I am right now. So I think it's a little bit of, you know, a thank you note or a self gratitude. I don't know if you can say that, but, you know, from you putting the work and the time to you know, bring me to school, to hockey practices, to make me meals, to anything that they did for me. I feel like that was their own happiness of seeing me getting drafted that day.
I think the star of that moment when you got drafted was your grandmother, because your grandmother, like, she was like, what just happened here? And I mean, how proud must she be, considering you know, your father, she, you know, she didn't want him to play. And now her grandsons are now playing in the NHL. I thought that was just a beautiful moment to see her during your draft time. And also it was pretty funny because I don't know if you ever got to look back at it, but like the announcers who were talking about you, they were chirping your size. They're talking about how skinny you were and how much weight you needed to put on. Is that something that you had to deal with a lot? Did a lot of teams, coaches, people second guess you because they thought you were too small?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a struggle my entire life. You know, I got in junior at 150 pound, and I mean, that's the biggest reason why I got cut from the team. And, you know, getting drafted, it was always, you know, like you got to put at least a 30 pounds or so. But, you know, after a while, I just got to the point where I didn't really care about what people were saying. And, you know, it's every time I was getting an interview, it was like, oh, so how's your weight now or whatever? Because, you know, guys in the league are pretty massive, and you want to compete against them physically as well. But I'm to the point now that, you know, I saw myself in the pro hockey level, and I was able to compete physically and on the ice as well with my weight. And I don't really, you know, pay attention towards it. And, you know, I work out as hard as I can. I eat as much as I can. And but to come back from what you say about my grandmother, you know, she doesn't really, sometimes I feel like she doesn't really know hockey that much. So I feel like it was just, you know, seeing her grandson achieving something that he really wanted. You know, I remember her sleeping half of the first round, you know, just starting to write notes, and then second later she just passed out. And she probably woke up literally two picks before and didn't know where she was, and just, you know, looking the stands, didn't know where she was, and just being like, oh, okay, wow, we're still here, and hearing my name. And she just didn't really know how to react, or I feel like she didn't even know what was going on. But you know, I feel like it's just an achievement that my brother and I just really, really wanted to, and for her to be there, it was great as well. So yeah.
And so, if you watch that draft, I don't know who had the bigger smile, you or your brother. You guys were just ear to ear. What was that moment like right after? Did you guys have a chance to sit down, just the two of you, and just kind of talk about, like, holy smokes, bro, like, we both did it. Did you guys have one of those moments? And if you did, you know, talk to us about that.
Yeah, I feel like coming back inside the little house that we got in Chicago, it was just like, wow, like, we're both in it now. And, you know, after all these years, we finally both are drafted in the NHL, and you know, one was already, you know, kind of knocking at the door, and me just getting drafted. It was fun for him as well. You know, he knows that I'm looking after him so much that it's that is fun for him as well to see me grow up as a player and improve as a player and reach the other level as a player. So no, it was definitely fun, and I can pick on him that I get drafted in the first round and he didn't. So no, I can say that I have this over him.
So, you know, I've always wanted to be a D from day one. Like, I just wanted to be a D, and any opportunity I got to play D, like school hockey, I was playing D. And Elijah's actually, he's going to Ryerson this year. He's playing forward, and he's been a D his whole life. So what would you say your favorite part about playing D is?
You know, I started playing as a forward. And I always, you know, with the first guy, was the first guy coming back. So my coach one day just told me, you know what, just try defense. And I guess it started from there. But, you know, it's fun to score goals and stuff like that. But for me personally, you know, stopping the other team from scoring and, you know, playing against the better players on the other team who are most likely to be forward or offensive players, it's fun to compete against them. But I mean, it's as important as scoring goals to stop them. So I feel in my head, it was just fun to defend. But if I can bring a little bit of offense, you know, from time to time, I feel like even Elijah knows that if you score a goal as a D, you know, it's fun. So no, I feel like it just came naturally to me to be a defenseman, and I embrace it.
Defense wins championships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The best offense is defense, right? know what they're saying, sure. But anyway, we'll make it happen. We'll make it say that.
Just to jump back to the draft a little bit, I remember, because me and you are the same year, I remember actually being at that draft and was watching the whole thing. And I like heard about you, but I didn't really know who you were. You know, we don't really pay attention to the people in the queue. But I just remember seeing this another black defenseman getting drafted. And there's kind of something special to me about that because it's not something you really see often. Do you kind of realize how big of an impact that makes for younger kids kind of looking up to you?
Yeah, you know, it's always something that I've looked forward to, you know, to be a role model for somebody else, like my brother who once worked for me or once, I guess, is right now for me. But, you know, it's more of an eye-opener that, you know, we all can be role models for the next generation or the generation that might be 1 or 2 years younger than us. And just to see us, you know, growing up as you know, one of the few black people in the white sports, just loving the game and not being scared about it is definitely something that the younger people are looking, and that's something I in the future want to be part of. And I guess we can say that we're lucky to be part of something special like that.
So you know that hockey's changing, obviously, in what you just said. You obviously noticed that, and it's becoming more diverse on the ice, and the industry is not shying away from talking about social justice issues or issues within the industry of the game itself. As a young black athlete, where do you stand, and do you have any plans helping to move the needle forward and seeing the game become more inclusive?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the second I saw the Alliance, I was really happy, and you know, that was the I always wanted to be part of something like that. And, you know, being in there without really being in the in it is something fun. And, you know, I talked about it with some people in the Pittsburgh organization. And, you know, I'm starting to help in the foundation that they have, the Pittsburgh Penguin Foundation. And I've talked with the director there, and we're going through some project for the near or far future with the black communities in Pittsburgh, and you know, black hockey and black players playing hockey in Pittsburgh. So from that comes out some pros, and I want to be part of it, and I want to be there and help as much as I can in Pittsburgh, back home, or around the world, because it's you know, it's not only here in the NHL. It can be you know, somewhere else in other sports. So if we can bring one to thousands of black players to enjoy and to want to be us, that's something that is an achievement for me.
You just talked a little bit about Pittsburgh, and you know, coming from Arizona to Pittsburgh is probably a big change for you. Being traded for somebody like Phil Kessel, who people loved in Pittsburgh, and he's a pretty good player. Was that a big confidence builder for you, knowing that Pittsburgh believes in you that much to give up Kessel for you?
Yeah. Well, at first it's kind of a just what would happen. And the way I got the news was a little bit shocking as well. You know, I was coming back from development camp, and I was just watching my movies in the plane, and then my phone just started to blow. And, you know, I didn't really know what was happening. And my brother being a brother just called me and be like, yeah, you got traded. And I was like, yeah, like it didn't happen. You know, I was just there, you know, I just had a meeting with the organization. And, you know, after that, seeing everything on social media, it was, at first it was really like, what did I do? Like, did I do anything wrong? Did I, you know, messed up my camp, or messed up some stuff that I did, or maybe they just didn't like me as a player. But then, you know, I got the chance to have a step back from it and be like, you know what, Phil is a pretty good player, and you know, being part of this trade is definitely a boost for the confidence. But you know, there's like I say, from, you know, getting drafted far in the queue, there's it doesn't mean anything until you prove something. So there's still so much to prove and so much to achieve for them to be okay, we made a pretty good deal.
What would you say the differences between the organizations are, if there are any?
Yeah, I mean, you can see the winning side of their organization from a team that didn't win any Stanley Cup to a team that win a couple in the last couple of years. So it's definitely a A1 organization that are all about winning, all about it's not negotiable. It's win or nothing. And being in Arizona, rebuilding and just wanting to have a better team and trying to compete every year. I feel like that was a big part of it. But I don't want to say anything bad about Arizona, but Pittsburgh just felt like it was a better organization. And I'm happy that I got the chance to be there and see the differences between two organizations. And I'm really, really happy to be part of a great organization like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is actually a really solid team, solid organization. They're really trying to do a lot of stuff in the community. I'm not sure if you ever met Delvina or Tracy from the organization, two black ladies that are just doing great work out there. So I would, I'll definitely make sure that I do an email introduction between the three of you guys. I think you can do a lot of great work out there, especially the fact that, that's a city that wants to develop a lot more young black athletes in that neighborhood. So I think that, you getting a chance to be out there and them kids seeing you is going to really inspire some kids. So, when you speak of inspiration, what would you say is the biggest inspiration that you've gotten from your brother? And I know you heap the comparison, but I think it's really cool, just the dynamics. And I think, it'd be great for people, especially young people, to know what, some of the traits that you look up to.
Yeah. Just honestly, anything. Just the whole human, the whole, it's not, it's easy to look after them when they're athletes. And it's really, 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 really different when you see them as, a regular person who's going to school, who's, doing his laundry and stuff like that. And, but, he went through some, racial stuff, and just to see him go through it, like nothing really happened. I feel like that's something I took from him. And, just talking to him about stuff that happened to me as well is helps definitely. And just everything that he's been through from getting cut from teams, from racial events that happen at school that people might not know. And
so I wanted to actually sit on that, for example. So for the people who don't know, what happened to him at school, how did he deal with it, and how did that affect you personally? Because I know if that was my brother, man, I'm telling you.
I remember a story that happens with the the bus driver that call him a word that no black guy wanted to hear in their life, especially not that young, and him not backing up from it, like being with all his teammate, classmate, friends in the same bus, driving up to school, and just not him backing out, just calling him out, and especially at a young age like that, it just made me realize that anything that they say or might think or bring into the table, you can't come like just sit back and get walk on like that. And him just stepping up for himself and chirping him back or say something to him after that was definitely something great, even though there is a some consequences after. But we'll take those consequences if it's for sticking up for yourself, and especially in events like that.
I've heard your brother say that he's proud of the fact that you want to be your own person and not be like the older brother. But with that being said, what's your ultimate goal in this rat race called hockey?
Better, 100% better. If I can make more points than him, I'm gonna be happy. If I can play more than him, I'm gonna be happy. I feel like that's something I want to do. If he plays 1,000 game, I want to play 1,001 game. It's always gonna be a broader competition between us, even on and off the ice. I'm always gonna be looking at him with one eye, looking at him in one eye towards my goal. And I want him to succeed as well. You know, like I don't want him to fail and I can just say that I'm better than him or I made, you know, better stuff than him. If I can see him, you know, grow up and be the person that he wants to or even greater, that's going to be something that's going to make me happy as well. But if I can be better than him, of course, I want to be better than him. Who doesn't want to be better than their own brothers, you know? So that's definitely something I'm looking after.
Yeah, away from your brother and your family last year, I don't know if you were living with one of the guys, but you're on your own for the first time, would you say?
So, yeah, I was, definitely.
Yeah, how was that? Like doing your own laundry, cooking your own meals, or at least trying to cook?
Trying to get Akil ready because Akil don't know how to cook. He's going to be on his own soon in L.A., so we need you to just, you know, talk to Akil about, you know.
Uber Eats. Uber Eats.
What's that? What'd you say?
So Uber Eats.
Uber Eats.
Brother, your grandmother would not be happy with that. I'm telling you right now. You got to go there and learn some cooking skills. And I definitely love, you know, cooking and, you know, being on my own. And, you know, it changed you a little bit. You know, you're far away. You got to do your own stuff. You got to be more and more responsible in your stuff. But, you know, laundry-wise, I was happy when my billet did it in Charlottetown. You know, like cooking was definitely something I didn't want to do sometimes. So Akil is kind of right that, you know, Uber Eats can be your best friend sometimes. But, no, it was definitely fun, you know, being on your own, having your own apartment, your own bills, you know, stuff like that. And it's definitely some life experience that you have to go through in life to, you know, to grow up. And you guys are for sure looking forward to it.
So let's switch gears, man. You were in the bubble. What was that like?
It was really great the way that they did it. You know, it kind of sucked that we had to get tested every day, but, you know, it's part of it. And it was fun to have some hockey back finally and sports to change the topic on TV. And I feel like people were starting to get wild and crazy out there with everything going on. And I feel like sports always bring people back together. And, you know, having the NBA, the NHL, the MLB starting back, it was definitely something people were looking to. But no, the bubble was great. You know, I had the chance to see my brother in there and, you know, seeing the older guy compete in the postseason. It was definitely something everyone want to be part of, and I got the chance to be there, so I'm really happy about that. And you know, it's COVID sucked, you know, everybody can say that. It's definitely a time that nobody wanted to experience in their life, but we had to do what you had to do, and I'm happy that I had a chance to live it.
Do you guys just get something just kind of stick up your nose basically for like a swab test?
Yeah, so it's a swab test every morning and temperature check. So we had a little app on their phone. So, you know, with the temperature robot that was going through your brain or whatever, just from far distance. And you had to go green before going out of the hotel. Otherwise, you couldn't go out. So, you know, some players kind of turned red for no reason. And it was just a bunch of trouble. But no, it was definitely well done with the testing and all this stuff.
Did you what did you guys do to kind of keep yourself entertained in there? Was there ping pong, movies, or were you kind of getting bored?
No, I was definitely not getting bored. We had some tennis courts in there, some basketball courts, some squash, some ping pong. We had a pretty big gym. You know, team dinners kind of take most of our time over there, and you know, some 4 or 5 hour dinners with the guys definitely take away your nights. But I feel like it's the same as going on a road trip. And I mean, everybody went through road trip from living in the hotel and you know, having buffet and stuff like that in meals room. And I definitely had the chance to play some sports in there. And hockey was definitely taking a lot of time as well. But you know, meeting lots of new people and you know, getting to know the players a little bit more from coming from another organization, it was a great time.
So what about competition? Did you guys compete like cards, basketball against other teams, or did you kind of, in the bubble, did you just kind of keep to yourself? Pittsburgh stayed by Pittsburgh, Montreal was with Montreal, and so on and so forth.
No, it was the you know, we had some few days that we had to stay away from other teams for testing and stuff like that. I didn't know if a team would bring COVID inside or anything like that. But after a while, it was, you know, friends and you know, I'm sure that the older guys had some old teammates in there that they went and had time with them. But no, competition wise, I was always going against my brother, of course, against. And you know, from playing arcade basketball or you know, playing tennis inside, it was fun. But at the same time, you want to compete against your own teammates and just move and get going a little bit on days off.
What are your plans for Pittsburgh as far as the type of person you want to be known for as a teammate in the locker room? You know, there's a lot of big personalities there and you can kind of get lost in the shuffle. So how are you going to, you know, make your name in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you know, it's always hard to get in the team with such great players like that. And, you know, I just want to be a key player one day for the team and the organization. And, you know, if I can bring my leadership skills in there, that's going to be fun. And, you know, I want to be someone that people can rely on and off the ice, like I have been in the past in junior. And, you know, like you said earlier, if I can bring some black players to the games, you know, black people into the arena a little bit more, that's going to be something I'm looking forward to it, especially with the amount of, you know, diversity that there is in Pittsburgh. And if I can be part of the, you know, social part of hockey, you know, going to community events and stuff like that, that's something I want to be known for as well. But you know, I want to be like I said, a great piece one day of the team. And if I can make my mark from you know, being a great teammate, a great leader, and a great person in town, that's something I'm going to be happy with.
So some teams, their dress code was a little bit more relaxed, like for a game, where, like, for this whole bubble thing, and I'm sure you saw, like, the pictures of, like, Matthews and Nylander and those guys rolling in, just wearing designer stuff. If you're you know, coming to a game, just looking to look fresh, what would you wear?
What did you wear? Because you had that option, too, right?
No, our team was strictly, you know, casual, normal, you know, suit and dress shirt. But I really love the fact that they just go in the ring dressed like they were. You know, it kind of brings you up bring you out your personality. And you know, that's something I want to bring inside my style as well. You know, I'm not afraid to pull out some colors on me, or some you know, different socks, games or anything like that, when I can have the chance to bring something in a little bit more personal inside my dress code, I can do it. But no, I really love the fact that they can just, you know, dress like they wanted to, you know, without being, you know, not proper and not professional. I mean, it's not going to change the fact that you're a bad player on the ice or a good player or anything. So I really like the fact that Maple Leaf just said, you know what, just dress like you want, just be professional on the ice. And when it's time to work, it's time to work.
Yeah, me personally, I think that's the way it should be. I hope that Pittsburgh changed it up so we could see if you got any drip or not. I'm not too sure. But I want to skip all the way back to, I found it pretty interesting when you threw the first pitch at the Diamondsback game. How nervous were you before that?
Yo, I saw the videos like a couple days before when the guy came up to throw the ball and threw it so wide in someone's nuts, and I was just, you know what, I can't do this. You know, I'm gonna be viral on the internet, and I'm gonna be known for the guy who throws some balls to someone's head or something like that. But no, it was definitely a great experience. You know, going into another stadium and having that many people in the stand, and I was definitely really, really, really nervous. But I guess my year of baseball made me throw a strike right down the pipe. So, you know, I was pretty happy with myself after that. And no, it was a great time.
No big deal, eh? Just right down.
Yeah,
the
middle. No big deal. You know, it's what it is. When you're an athlete, you're an athlete.
I know if Akil was throwing that ball, it would not have been anywhere in the strike zone.
Well, I don't don't have a shoulder, but have you watched your brother's video of him being mic'd up?
I have, man. This guy talks so much. Oh. Yeah, it doesn't change from him being here or him, you know, seeing him or living with him last year. I can just see his mouth open all the time. And I was just, you know what? Shut up, man. Like, this time, just don't say anything, you know? Like, don't throw your gum in some bag like you did. Like, come on, have some class a little.
Well, Elijah's the type of guy to just, you know, talk a lot in the locker room, kind of get bodied around by the rookies, get chirped by the rookies and stuff. So yeah, okay. What type of locker room guy would you say you are?
You know, first of all, I'm not surprised about Elijah. You know, it's kind of brings out that little, you know, getting chirped by rookies and stuff like that. Oh, I can see that. No, but I want to include the you know, everyone in the team. That's what the older guy made me feel like. So for me, is, you know, we're just one team, and you know, there's always gonna have the rookie stuff. You know, you gotta pick up the puck. You gotta pick up the puck. You know, you gotta if you gotta go up on the stage to sing some you know, karaoke, you gotta do what you gotta do. But no, I wanna you know, bring people in the team. You know, don't be scared to you know, say some stuff in the room. If you can you know, ask people about their life experience, or if you can improve on and off the ice with by just talking to all the guys, that's something I'm really open to. And yeah, I just want to be a big brother for the younger guys, and I want to be a brother as well for the other teammates.
So Lodge was like an OA on our team last year, and he was probably picking up pucks every practice. But like in junior, did you control the ox, or are you an ox type of guy, or?
You know, going into the Maritimes, rock wasn't the big thing. You know, it was big on country, so I got kind of got used to it, and I kind of started loving it. You know, I'm starting to loving it. You know, you can see some songs here and there, but you know, whenever I was throwing my mix in, and you know, some rap song, and I actually have a great story about that. I was just getting in Charlottetown, and I asked Daniel Sprong to put up some rap a little bit before the game. You know, I kind of knew him. I wouldn't go out and say, you know what, you guys change your country or whatever. But and then you know how rap is. You know, the lyrics and stuff like that. And my coach comes in the locker room, kind of sour about the music, and then kind of hit me on the shoulder, and he's like, are you okay with that kind of music, or it kind of disturb you a little? And I'm like, man, I'm loving it. You know, it gets me going and stuff like that. But just with the lyrics that was throwing into the music, it kind of made me felt good about saying yes. And I didn't care about it. And he actually asked me 2 years in a row, and I was still, you know what, if I put my music on, you probably won't like it. But, you know, it's definitely something I want to bring up in the Charlottetown locker room and change the country boy a little.
I think it's good that your coach actually came and did that, you know?
Yeah, I loved it. You know, I was, at first I was kind of, you know, the little shy rookie that didn't want to say anything, or was looking at this skate. But, you know, when he came and asked that, I was, you know, well, that's something I wouldn't expect for you to do. But I was, you know what, I respect him from there a way much more, you know, from seeing me as me and, you know, respecting me.
What about the fact that you you know, you'll accept their music and let it be heard, but that worrying feeling of being able to play your music, that they'll be able to accept it? Did you ever think about that, or is it kind of like, you know what, I'm over here, let them have their music, I'll just keep it to myself and put on the Beats by Dre?
You got to bring your own personality into the team. That's what makes you know, a colorful team and a diverse team as well. But you know, at first, country wasn't something I was listening to, like, not even close from it. But you know, it's why would I be shy to go up and, you know, put some of my music in the mix? Or you know, that's something I'm never gonna want someone to be afraid of, to show themselves, mm-hmm. and show their personality. And if I had to put some you know, some Drake or some you know, anything a little bit more out of their comfort zone, I'm gonna do it.
Pierre, first off, I don't want you to listen to a word Akil says. He might be one of the biggest cappers out there. So don't let him fool you.
Big cap.
But in terms of picking up pucks, one thing my dad told me when I was younger is when you're out there practicing, doing whatever, imagine that Wayne Gretzky or someone's watching you. So don't think you're too much of a big shot to go pick up pucks at the end of practice.
Whoa,
so
that's
why I pick up pucks.
Yes.
It's not, we talked about being a whole team. There's no rookies and all that. I was big on that. So it's, if I'm using the pucks, I'm going to pick the pucks up.
Akil, what do you think about that, their philosophy?
Yeah, you know? Don't let yourself walk like that.
There's not much I can do. It's just a pigeon.
I can't hear you. Sorry. Speak up, please.
I was just a pigeon,
You call Elijah a pigeon. Oh, my God.
Speaking facts, though, man. Say what you want. I'm speaking facts.
That just showed that you were out there at the last guys on the ice and that kill was already in there.
Elijah.
Exactly, man.
You know what? No. Elijah can never say that he was on the ice longer than me ever. Ever. And if you can say that, then you're...
I could say sometimes. You were on the ice a lot after practice, but I stayed out too.
Yo, is this kind of like... Does this remind you of how you and your brother...
Oh, 100%. That's nothing. I love it.
For dinner. Oh my God.
Say that again, Akil.
He's the first guy off the ice. He's like, oh, I got dinner with my girl. I got to go.
Oh, boy's a simp.
Coach, I got to go.
No, don't listen to him, man. I was always putting in work.
Elijah, I think it's time for us to get that top five in because we're talking a lot of Ox. We're talking a lot of country. I need to know what's up with the PO.
Well, first of all, if P.O. was on my team, he would never touch the Ox.
Boy. Okay.
If his phone got plugged in, I would take his phone out and chuck it across the room. Man would never be on Ox.
Without even knowing what I'm about to put, eh?
I do want to know if for some reason, some weird reason, I let you take Ox for one day before the game, the five songs that you would play before the game.
Damn, boy.
These are the energy blasters. These are setting the tone. This sets the tone for that first shift.
Dude, I'm a big Drake guy. You know, I'm a big vibe sing. You know, enjoy. Don't get stressed or think about it too much. So, I'll have to say one of the five would be Last Dance from Drake. You know, just get out there, move, dance a little. That's definitely a song that I'm on and I'm. Dancing on. I'm a big electro kind of guy too, from being in Montreal. Okay, don't look at me like that. what would I put? Some Jay Sean for sure.
Who?
Jay Sean?
Jay Sean.
Boy.
Who's Boy. Jay Sean?
You guys don't know what Jay Sean is?
I don't know Jay Sean.
I don't know Jay Sean.
Is that guy from Montreal?
No, he's a big singer. You guys never heard of Down?
What?
Oh boy!
Down.
Never mind.
Your phone would have been off the
Ox. Baby, right are you that. down? No.
That's not. Is that his name? Jay Sean.
That's not Jay Sean.
What's his name?
Jay Sean. Yeah.
No.
Big Sean. I know your culture, but
Big Sean. That's
Jay Sean.
No, his name's not Jay Sean.
There's no one named Jay Sean.
You're messing up the name. First of all, you can hold a tune. I just want people to know that I caught that. You got a little singing voice in you.
His name is Jay Sean, actually.
Is it Jay Sean?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. Baby, baby, Are You Down? That's the song?
Maybe not it, but...
Okay.
You're calling me Lover Boy, and that's one of your top five songs?
Oh, my God.
That's a light-skinned song, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so we got Last Dance. Down by Jay Sean.
And some Lil Wayne. Upro. Okay. Probably going to put in the mix.
Okay. There's two more. Heavy hitters, man.
Trophies. 100% okay. Going to be in there. Okay. 100% going to be in there. I'm big on asking the boys, what do you want to put on the on before? Not only me.
Well, this time, Sidney Crosby turns to you and says, P.O., you got it, bro. One more song before we hit the ice.
Yeah, definitely. EXO Tour. Yeah, I'll put in the mix just for you.
Okay. Two good songs.
Yeah. I'll put it up in there.
I like the fact that you really take this serious. You really.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Big music guy. I go 10-minute drive, music on for sure. Music on every day on in my room if I want to clean everything. Every day is music. If I don't have music in the day, it's gonna be a problem. But
give me that Jay Sean hook again. Give it to me one more time.
You guys
sing it. Let me hear the hook.
Baby, don't worry. You are my only. See, I meet the sky is falling down. No? Never heard of that.
I do know the song. I do know the song. I didn't know his name was Jay Song. I didn't know it was Jay Sean.
Okay.
P.O. can sing. He could hold a note. Yeah, you know who else?
I was just dancing on it. That just made me want to, like, you know, go out there and have some fun.
Did you guys know that Malcolm Subban is a really good piano player? He makes beats and stuff too.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe we have to get
Malcolm and P.O. collab going.
I'm saying. Anyways, listen.
I gotta improve my English a little bit first before getting in there. But
hey, you sound good, brother. And listen, you sound good. You play good. And we are really happy that you jumped on with us for this podcast. We really appreciate your time, man. And good luck to you in the future. Pittsburgh is a great city. I know you can hold it down there. So keep your eye on the prize, man. And before we let you go, Akil Thomas plays in L.A. You're playing in Pittsburgh. It's L.A. Akil's coming down the right wing. What are you going to do to him when he gets to the corners?
Stop him, for sure. Lift his stick, move the puck up, chirp him a little, ask him to go back to the bench and, keep playing.
I had a different plan. I thought you were just going to spend like 15 minutes looking for your jock in the Raptors, but I don't know.
We'll see, I guess, eh? Listen,
my money's on P.O.
Thanks, boy. You know how it is. Defense always first.
Don't be afraid to give him a little jab in the ankles a little bit with the stick too, okay?
Yeah.
He's quick.
We'll see how he reacts. Maybe drop the glove. Who knows?
Oh, who knows, buddy? Who knows? Listen, P.O., thank you very much for joining us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. You know, it's great that that you guys invited me. And sorry again, Elijah, for not having more a better top five coming in my mind right there.
It's all right, man. If we ever end up on the same team, just know you won't be on Ox, but, there's room to improve, right?
There's always room to improve.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
See you, lover boy. Thanks,
that was P.O. Joseph from the Pittsburgh Penguins joining us. And, sounds like a great kid. Elijah, what's your relationship with him? How do you know him?
I honestly don't even know him personally. I think just that connection between Black players, there's not really a lot of us. So you find little ways to kind of interact. And I think we just followed each other on Instagram and then kind of talked a little bit, but nothing really. And I think just having all the Black players really kind of know each other. I don't know. Well, I do know why that is, but that's how we know each other. And he's a great guy.
Yeah, I met him at a World Junior Camp 1 year. And from the start, we just kind of gravitated towards each other, started talking a little bit. So I haven't really seen him play at all, except for that camp. So looking to see how he does in the next 3 years, and hopefully he can crack Pittsburgh lineup and can be, send some scene pass to Malkin.
Yeah. Well, boys, great episode. And once again, for the listeners out there, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Make sure you tell a friend. Make sure you check us out on all social media platforms. Soul on Ice, the podcast. My name is Kwame. These are my nephews, Elijah and Akil. And we'll see you next week.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Cheese a dozen, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing.
boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold a show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house for the kid. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the past from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.